Second Samuel chapter 1, verse 25, how the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of a woman. Amen. Once again, good evening to the church. It's wonderful for us, again, for to be here, for to worship God in spirit and in truth. For God is indeed the God of our lives. In John chapter 14, and verse number 8, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. It's enough. I wonder if and when something becomes enough for us. Enough for us to be able to just accept it just as it is. And Jesus answered, Philip, you know me. I've been with you for a long time. When are you going to accept me? Anyone who has seen me, Philip, has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Some people have a hard time accepting the Son. They have a hard time accepting Jesus. Some people have a hard time accepting people that they even know. You know, I trust him just a little bit, but not a whole lot, because I don't know him all that well. Or they might even say, I know him all too well, so I got to keep my eye on him. In order to accept Jesus, we've got to accept the fact that Jesus is deity. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Defined in Matthew chapter 1 verse 23 as God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus was God in the flesh. In explaining to the Pharisees about who he was and how he was God, Jesus said, who do you think the Christ is? Over in Matthew chapter 22. Whose son is he? And they said to him, you got to be the son of David. So he says, how then does David in the spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? The point that Christ was trying to make before David here was that Christ is greater than David. And people accepted David all of the time. They lived, died, and breathed David. Jesus is saying that I am greater than David. And if David is calling me Lord, you know that I'm just simply not his son. So Jesus goes on to help us understand that point a little bit clearly in John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. These words about Jesus Christ, whether people want to accept it or not, is consistent all throughout the scripture. There's just a thread of truth that runs from the very beginning of the book of Genesis all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, and the words are simply Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. It's always been there. It always will be there. Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. They're consistent with the record Moses gave in creation when he used the word for God, Elohim. All Hebrew words you'll find that ends in I-M are plural words. Moses again says in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. Let us do it after our own likeness. Jesus was God, and he is God. We know that he was God in the creation, and that means that since he was God in the creation, that he was before time, and that Jesus that we love, the Jesus that we serve, that Jesus that is our Savior, is all eternal. Again, in John 1:14, we read, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This Jesus Christ was the Word that was made flesh. He became incarnate Christ. And we begin to see the plurality of the Godhead here. God the Father sending his Son, God the Son, into this world that he might save the wretched men that are going to crucify him. He was a man. Yes, he was. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 2:14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." And to say that he was less than human or more than human is just to misinterpret the idea of what sacrifice is all about. You see, God sacrificed his Son when he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." We find that God, in this particular phrase, some people call it the little Bible, but for me, I find that God took his own medicine. Took his own medicine. You know, your parents always gave you that medicine lineup. They had a peppermint at the end, but you never saw them take it. But you always had to take it yourself, and you get a peppermint at the end. God took his own medicine. He became who and what we were, that he might die to himself, that he might save us. Jesus became man. Jesus the Christ, God's Son and our Savior. The God that was there from the beginning and the God that's going to be there in the end, he came and died that we might have life. And there are some people who still don't accept that. He was a man who was familiar with our sufferings. Everything that we ever going to go through or what we have always already been through, Jesus Christ suffered and paid that sacrifice for us. He died a cruel death on the cross of Calvary. He took that punishment that you and I might not have to die. I don't know any other man on the face of the earth that has ever done that or ever will do that. We're talking about sacrificing your whole life for man. He was God. Jesus was God. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Listen to what it says. God was manifest in the flesh. God was justified in the spirit. God was seen of angels. God was preached unto the Gentiles. God was believed on in the world. And God was received up into glory. God is the Christ. Jesus Christ was manifested in the flesh. And whether we accept the Christ or not, he still is God. He says to the Jews before Abraham was, you believe in Abraham and you want to boast about your inheritance? He says, let me tell you, before Abraham was, I am. That's the same thing that God said to Moses to tell Pharaoh. Tell him, I am that I am. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. I am God. Some people want to play this game. You know, Jesus was just some other prophet along the way. He was a great religious teacher. Whether you want to say it or not, that's fine. You have your right to opinion, but you can't prove that. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Paul wrote these words in Philippians 2, 6-8, talking about Jesus Christ. He says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Truly, God is who he said he is. Jesus Christ is truly God and he is truly man. Yes, he is. Talking about accepting Jesus Christ. You find that when Jesus was going back to heaven to be with the Father, you find the disciples were there. And the angel says, why are you standing there gazing in the heaven? What are you looking at? I know you see the Christ ascending from heaven, from earth to heaven. He says, but let me tell you, the same Christ, the same way you see him leaving, same way he's coming back. We are going to see Christ ourselves in the flesh. As a matter of fact, it's my contention that Jesus sits enthroned of the Father still as human and as God. That's why he's able to intercede for us, because he's both God and man while he sits in heaven beside the throne of God. That gives me the chills every time I think about it, because Jesus represents who I am right now in heaven. And either I can accept that now or never accept God in eternity. Because if I don't accept the Son, I can never, ever accept the Father. Any of your kids ever been treated bad or denied anything, and you felt some type of way about it? Why are you treating my child like that? Don't you know if you treat my child like that, that means that you're treating me bad as well? Let's flip that a little bit. What if the kid is the smartest thing, the sharpest tool in the shed? What do we usually say? You get it from your mama, or you get it from your daddy, right? It just comes right off. And we're happy and we're proud about that. Jesus Christ is the direct reflection of God. He is the very image of God. He is God, whether we want to accept it or not. And when we deny the Christ, we deny the Father. And when we accept the Christ, what are you talking about, Philip? What are you talking about? Show me the Father? What's that all about? You're not accepting me? Show me the Father? Don't you see me? A lot of sons look just like their fathers, don't they? And some girls do too. I know she for you, she looks just like you. And some people just will not accept the fact that Jesus is God. Old John was having a hard time while he was in jail. Herod put him in jail. He sent his disciples up there. He says, listen, go up there and ask him if he is the one that we've been waiting for, or if we should wait for somebody else to come. Sometimes it's a little hard sometimes when you're in darkness, and when you find yourself in the prison of sin, and you just can't accept God for who he is. So you start questioning the validity of who God is. And then you find yourself in a situation where God reveals himself, and he tells you exactly who he is through his word. And we are free. We become free. Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth is what's going to make you free. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Either we can accept it or deny it. We're talking about the Christ. Everybody wants to have Jesus, but nobody wants nothing to do with God. And if those who wanted something to do with God didn't want anything to do with Jesus, and nobody wants nothing to do with the church that he purchased with his own blood. You can't have Christ and not the church. You can't have the church and not Christ. That is his body. Get your arm cut off and see what that means to you. He had a part of his body cut off because it was diseased. Your arm is a part of your body. What is it that we don't consider as part of our body? Our eyes? It's your body. Toes? It's your body. We are the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know what's so sad about the world? The world doesn't accept us either. And the world's going to reject the church. They're rejecting Christ. But we have to have ourselves in a position, Matthew 5, to let our light shine before men that they might see the love that's in us. It's conditional on the love that we have for God in us, that people are going to see God in us because they're going to see the love. We learn to accept Christ, and they learn to accept Christ through us, because we are the body of God walking the earth right now. And we have got to be that body, behave like that body, speak like that body. We have got to be who God has called us to be. We've just got to accept Christ. Some people are just truly not converted at all. In order to accept Jesus as the Christ, we've got to accept his gospel. And his gospel is the very words of God. He brought a message with him. It was a crystal clear, concise, and defined religious teaching that has never been taught ever again by the mouth of one that walked this earth. He left for us words to follow in the Holy Writ. And John says again, Jesus did so many things and taught so many things that if we were to put it in a book, it's not enough to contain it. Not enough. Man writes a biography and you find at the end of his biography, it says just that. It says the end. There's no end to Christ. No end. There's no beginning to Christ. And his biography is right before us in the pages of God's word. And if we're going to accept Christ, we have got to accept his gospel. It is his will that we respect him and his authority enough to do as we are commanded. From these words of Christ, from the Bible, we see that if men are to be free from their sins, it must be by the truth. The truth is the only thing that can set us free. And yet there are those out there that are just not free because they have not accepted Christ. He says, sanctify them through your truth. John 17:17, thy word is truth. If we can't accept the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we cannot accept truth. And maybe we just can't. And maybe that's the reason why every time the world opens up their mouths, the only thing that comes out is lies. Because they're children of their father, the devil, who's the father of liars. To accept Jesus Christ is to accept what he said. And it's more to being accepted than just the red letters that you see in some Bibles. Because the word of God didn't just come from the lips of his only begotten son. Before his crucifixion, you remember that the apostles were right there with Christ. And Christ said over in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And that's why we have the Bible that is written, so that we might remember all things that God has for us to do. We got to accept his word. We cannot accept Christ without his word. Trust is a big thing, isn't it? It's a big thing. And when that trust is breached, it's hard to recover from that, to even get it back. God is faithful. God is true. There's never been a breach in trust at all when it comes to God and his word. We fail to trust him and his word in our lives, and we reject him as a result of that. That Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, he brought the apostles a full and perfect knowledge of the will of God. He brought us a full and perfect knowledge of the will of God through the scriptures. But they wrote it down in the pages of the New Testament. It was God-breathed. And if we accept Jesus Christ, we're going to accept the entire writings that come from God, because it was given by the Holy Ghost. All scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for reproof, for correction, for works of righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect. All words come from God. God breathed. God breathed. The inspiration of God. When the writers of the New Testament were writing, they were writing the very words of God, and they will breathe from the very mouth of God. God. And it's so important that we understand that if we're going to accept Jesus, that the words come directly from God. Paul reminded those brethren at Galatia that accepting the word of God was great importance, because if you can't accept God's word, you can't have the Son. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another gospel at all, but there are some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. There's not anything else to preach. There's not any other Jesus out there to teach about. But people want to teach about other things contrary to the doctrine of Christ. And they say that it's in line with what God teaches, but they can't prove it by book, chapter, and verse. Those people in Galatia that Paul was talking to, they failed to continue walking in the gospel of Christ. And when we fail, as they did in the church of Galatia, those people in Galatia, to stop walking in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we become lost. Going to be lost. We can never accept Jesus Christ void of his gospel. Never. If you can't take me at my word, then you can't take me either. We've got to be a truthful people. We've got to be a people that speaks the very words of God and live our lives in such a way that Jesus Christ and his word gets the glory for everything. We live it, we breathe it, we have our being in it. In order to accept the Christ, we've got to accept his terms of salvation. A lot of people in the world have a problem with the terms of salvation. There's a lot of people right now today that are in jeopardy of losing their souls, their very lives, because they don't accept Jesus Christ or his terms of salvation. They want to do it the way they want to do it. But God has set forth some specific terms that must be met for salvation for an individual that's seeking it. Of necessity, the first thing that's logical is to hear the gospel. You know, in Luke 8:18, Jesus says, "I want you to take heed how you hear." It's of the greatest importance to me how I listen to the words of God. Because sometimes we can look at the word of God and we can hear something that's really not there. Because of our preconceived notions, we put things in God's word, and once we understand and learn that it's not there, we've got to change. We've got to change our lives. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. It's important how we listen to the words of salvation. Romans 10:14 says, how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How can you believe in someone that you never heard? And see, that's a problem with all those who call themselves atheists. They simply can't believe because they've never heard through God's word. Never heard. And it's really ridiculous to say they don't believe, because in order to not believe, you got to believe that something even exists. You can't disbelieve in something that never existed. It's ludicrous. God is. He exists. So because he exists, I choose not to believe in him. That's how that goes. That's atheists at its best. They might not want to admit that, but that's the truth. Because God is. And they simply choose not to believe that he is. Take heed how you hear. You can't benefit from the gospel if you never hear it. There are no benefits for you. So having heard the word of God, we've got to choose to believe the word of God. And we know that if we reject it, we simply cannot be saved. No one cannot be saved apart from accepting the very gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why he says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you," John 8:4, "that you shall die in your sins if you believe that I am not he." He says it again. You shall die in your sins. If you're rejecting the Christ, you're going to die in your sins. Paul says in Romans 10:10, "With the heart man believes unto righteousness." How can we benefit from the gospel if we never, ever believe it? How can we benefit from the gospel if we never want to hear it? And having heard and believed, we got to begin to change our lives. We got to change. We got to amend our ways based on the teachings of that gospel. And this is called repentance. It's repentance. And Paul tells us that the goodness of God, Romans 2:4, leads us to repentance. Because there's no good in us. We will not repent of our own volition. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. So it's a response of a sincere heart to the goodness of God. Hadn't God been good to you? Hadn't he been good to you? He's been good to the whole world. It rains on a sinner as well as a saint. The sun shines on a sinner as well as a saint. They accept some things from God, but they won't accept God totally. Give me the goodies, Lord. Everything else, I'm just here for the ride. I remember me and my wife was getting married. We had our ring bearer. And we asked him, he says, well, you know what you're going to do? You know what you're here for? He says, yeah, I know what I'm going to do. I do. You know what you're here for? Yes, I know what I'm here for. Okay, tell me what it is. I'm here for the goodies. That's what he said. Too many of us are just accepting God for the goodies. We think we know what we're going to do. We think we know what it is that we want, why we're here. But if we simply have not accepted God and His Son, Jesus the Christ, there can never be any goodies, church. Won't be any. We've got to be sorry about our sins. Godly sorrow works repentance unto salvation. And look, if we don't repent of those things, the sorrow of the world works death, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It works death. We should all be sorry for something. And that one thing we ought to be sorry for is sorry about our sins. But we'll never be sorry about turning away from that sin and accepting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll never be sorry about that. We'll never look back and say, you know, I'm so sorry that I accepted the Christ. There can be no benefit from the gospel if we don't hear it. There can be no benefit from the gospel if we never confess it. There can be no benefit from the gospel if we will not repent as it commands, and having heard and believed and repented, we confess our faith in Christ Jesus. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. Paul says in Romans 10:10 as well, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And even before his immersion in baptism, the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you remember before that, as he was reading the book of Isaiah, he says, well, Philip, who's he talking about? Himself or somebody else? And at the end of all of that, after his baptism, the Bible says he went away rejoicing because he believed and accepted that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, our Savior. What a wonderful way to leave, knowing that Christ is our Savior. John 12, 42 through 43 tells us of some who, even though they believe, they wouldn't confess the Lord. They just wouldn't confess Him. How could we believe and only go so far and not confess the Christ? Because our hearts are hardened and our will is not the will of God. We've come a long way, church. We know what it is we have to do. We know it is whom, in whom we should believe. And we should take heed in all of that and accept Jesus and let Jesus Christ become our salvation. He is our salvation. And when we become obedient in respect to hearing and believing and repenting and confessing our sins and being baptized in the watery grave of baptism, we will indeed not only accept the Christ, we become a part of the body that He has set here, His kingdom, for us to be saved in. You know, one thing I find about the world, and a lot of people put the world down, but you know, God made the world and everything in it. And when He made everything that He made, the Bible says He said it was good. One of the reasons I believe that the world is good, the earth that God made is good, is because there's no other place that He's made for us to prepare ourselves to leave here. He made earth for us to prepare ourselves to go to heaven. You can't go anywhere else out in space than the moon or nowhere else to prepare yourself for heaven. God has given the whole world His word. He's given the whole world the Christ that we should believe and live. Prepare yourselves. Stop asking for Jesus. Know who He is. He's the Son of God. He is the true and the living God. He's Emmanuel. Is He with you? He's God with us. If we can help you tonight to accept Jesus Christ, why don't you come? We stand and sing God's invitation song.